The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
So, Aaron, I got up this morning, started my day the way I always do, wanted to check and see what's in the news. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things are we going to be talking about? So two of the stories you just mentioned, this is on one news site. Here are the headlines. Story you mentioned, man shot and killed during confrontation with suspect in Skyway. Another one you mentioned, car break-ins becoming a problem at trailhead parking lots in Issaquah. And then here are the others that I saw. Hold on, I took a picture with my phone. Police investigating after woman shot and killed in Lakewood. One dead, several injured in multi-car crash on State Route 18 in Federal Way. Pierce County deputies investigating death of 11-year-old girl. Three hurt in West Seattle house fire. Car stolen with child inside in Ballard. One injured in shooting in Federal Way. And four teens shot in a car in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
In one weekend!
Yeah, I know. I hope it's not a prelude to summer, because when the sun's out, we know that crime goes up. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say, that you know, crime does go up when the weather heats up, and you know, you very kindly at the end of your newscast mentioned what a beautiful weekend it was. It was, but I just wonder if this is a leading edge of a really bad summer.
Let's hope not. I know in the newsroom I was saying... A lot of crime this weekend. So I tried to mix it up a little bit in the news.
Yes, but, I love that. I appreciate that.
We will get to a lot of what you just mentioned, though, throughout the show.
I know. It's crazy, man. I know. Yeah. All right, carry on, sir.
All right,
we're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the Big Show. And we have an awful lot to do this afternoon. Let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
On Friday, I praised Governor Jay Inslee because we got word right before we went on the air that he was overturning the pardon of a triple murderer, a story that we've been following for almost 7 years here on the Dory Monson Show. I praised him on Friday, but sadly, the praise does not continue today because one of the things that Jay Inslee was asked about in his press conference, and I think that this just illustrates what a abject failure he is in so many areas of leadership. You no doubt know the story of Oakley Carlson, a 5-year-old girl who was, because her parents were having so many problems, she was placed in foster care as a little tiny infant, and she was placed with a loving foster family. And that was the only family that she ever knew as she grew up into a toddler and then got to be 3-4 years old. And then the state of Washington came back into Oakley Carlson's life. The state said that little Oakley Carlson, 5 years old, should be reunited with her biological parents. And it was, gosh, what was it, a year ago? More than a year ago, when Oakley Carlson was last seen. One of her siblings at school said that wolves ate his sister, which many of us suspect is what the parents are saying to cover up what really happened. The parents have been put in jail for child endangerment, but nobody's ever found Oakley Carlson's body. And when Jay Inslee was asked about this at his press conference, I found his response to be incredibly cold sounding. He tried to warm it up by saying as a father and as a grandfather, but he sounded like somebody who did not care that the State Department of Juvenile Services, of DSHS, that they placed this child away from loving foster parents and back with biological parents who were so bad she had to be taken away from them in the first place.
Governor, I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on something I don't think you've been asked about, at least not in this room, which is the Oakley Carlson case. She's the missing 5-year-old from Grays Harbor County. And along those lines, I want to ask if you have any plans to order a review of how her case was handled by the child welfare system prior to being returned to her family and during that period of reunification.
Well, to start with, we have all kinds of inhibitions and inability to talk about these individual cases. As you know, there are privacy laws we have to respect.
That is absolute nonsense. They have inhibitions and inability to talk about something. When has Jay Inslee ever had an inhibition about talking about something? The question was, are you going to order an investigation of child welfare for reuniting this girl? She's now missing for more than a year, presumed dead. And that was the question. But, oh, I can't talk about that. That's nonsense.
Welfare system prior to being returned to her family and during that period of reunification.
Well, to start with, we have all kinds of inhibitions and inability to talk about these individual cases. As you know, there are privacy laws we have to respect. So I'm limited what I can tell you about any individual case. But I can tell you that we will have a review of any situation of this nature to make sure that it was handled appropriately. We have an ombuds office that is responsible for that. I'm confident that the appropriate decisions will be made and there will be a review.
Become an international news story. She's 5 years old, missing, hasn't been found.
No one's I can comment her. As a yeah. father of three and a grandfather of four that the heartache is beyond understanding. And I know all of us want to pitch in to help.
Okay, how cold does all of that sound? Now, let's talk about Jay Inslee and what he can and can't do in situations like this. When police officers are involved in someone's death, and the cops are about to be exonerated in a review by an outside agency, Jay Inslee and Bobby Bob Ferguson, they jump in immediately and say, oh, no, we're reviewing this. We are ordering an outside investigation. We're going to conduct a witch hunt against these cops, and we're not going to arrest until these police officers are put in prison. He has no problem saying that. When it's a cop, but when it's his agency, when it's child welfare, when they put a child back in a dangerous situation and that child is believed to be dead, oh, I can't talk about that. We're going to wait to see how it plays out. We have an ombuds office, he says. Yeah, really? You created your own investigation. For Tacoma police officers, Jay Inslee, because they were about to be exonerated because a separate outside agency had determined that they had not done anything wrong or certainly nothing criminal. And then you jump right in. But when it's a dead 5-year-old girl, presumably, and it's your state agency that is responsible for that, all of a sudden, Jay Inslee can't talk about it. He has inhibitions and inabilities to talk about it. Everything about this man is political showmanship. You think you can score some points with the left by convening another investigation of police officers. But there's no political points to be gained by investigating your own child welfare service under your guidance, because they might reveal that an agency that you're supposed to oversee did something that led to the death of a 5-year-old girl. And this just shows you what he's all about. It's not about accountability. It's not about doing the right thing. Everything is politics. Everything. And it is clear that Jay Inslee is much more interested in going after police officers than he is going after biological parents and the Washington State child welfare system, where he sounded just as cold as ice talking about that story. We will talk about it some more. The foster mom, Jamie Jo Hiles, the loving family that this child, Oakley Carlson, was placed with, she still wants to find out what happened to this girl that she loved as a daughter, and Jamie Joel was the only mom that this little Oakley Carlson had ever known. I'm going to talk with Jamie Joel Hiles about all of this and about the governor's response. We'll do that coming up right after the bottom of the hour at 12:30 this afternoon, but stay tuned for that. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Oh, finally things are going to start getting better, not just around here, but in the nation, because the Democrats in our state have just the candidate to make the world better. A far-left activist named Rebecca Parsons, she has launched her campaign for Congress in Washington's 6th District. And in it, she has put together a lovely campaign ad that explains what she's going to do for Washington State and for the United States of America when she is elected to Congress. Now, understand that this is the not the culmination, because it's still a work in progress. But remember what I've been telling you for more than 10 years now, that everyone has now come to understand was 100% accurate. And that is, we've had a lot of politicians around here that want to destroy this region because they believe out of the chaos and the desperation that they could rebuild a Marxist society. And may I present to you Democratic congressional candidate Rebecca Parsons.
This morning this week that housing prices are becoming unhinged from fundamentals.
The market norm.
You feel it. I feel it. We're on the edge of collapse. The corporate elite tell us not to worry. But what has doing what they told us ever gotten us? I did what they told me. I went to college. I got a master's degree. I ended up living in my car.
Okay, let me pause on that. I don't know what her master's was in. I went to her campaign website. It did not say what field she received a master's degree. But if you go to college, you get a master's degree, and you end up living in your car, you need to be able to take care of your own life before you can take care of mine. What's that old song? He can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine. Sunshine? Sunshine? Something like that. Yeah, so she was living in her car. She says that she has some solutions for all of this, though.
I did what they told me. Protests, letters, phone calls. Nothing changed. So I stopped doing what they told me. We occupied empty buildings and got 200 shelter beds added in our town.
Oh, we occupied empty buildings. She led a group of far-left activists down primarily in the Tacoma area to start squatting. Squatting in empty buildings. This is the kind of leadership Rebecca Parsons is going to bring to Congress.
200 people who didn't freeze to death. Billionaires tell us you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, f*** that. They want you depressed and hopeless. No. You should be angry and hopeful.
Angry and hopeful. Yeah, with Democrats in charge. Or Marxists. In charge. So she says that everybody else wants you angry. I have never in my life seen groups of people that want to make everybody angry as much as the far left. That's what they're all about. It's crazy. Okay, give us some more, though. She might be taking this to D.C.
Imagine I propose a housing for all bill in Congress. Then imagine you, me, and a million of our friends took action and occupied empty houses nationwide. Yes. They couldn't ignore us. No one has ever done anything like this. That's why it's going to work. Are you ready?
Fantastic plan! So, squatting is the solution, and it is the Marxist dream. And, not coincidentally, squatting is also how most of us purge waste from our bodies. But that's another subject. So I went to her website. Rebecca Parsons, Democratic congressional candidate, she's calling for a federal minimum wage of $30 an hour. Well, that wouldn't hurt inflation anymore. What? And why $30 an hour? Why not $100 an hour? You realize if you raise the federal minimum wage to $100 an hour, that every single person in this country will make $200,000 a year? Now, a loaf of bread is going to cost $80, but who cares? This is the solution to everything. So she believes that the solution is Marxism, squatting, a $30 minimum wage. Yes, this is the kind of brilliance that the far left is going to try to put forth. But all of this, as I've told you, is very much by design, that they have intentionally tried to destroy this region. And they have had great success in doing so. Defunding the police has meant rising crime. The rising crime has meant that, I mean, all these horrible stories that I was talking with Aaron about at the beginning of the show. And then the cost of government. There's a reason that housing, it's not just supply and demand. King County adds hundreds of thousands of dollars to the cost of every single piece of housing. And when they drive up prices, it has coattail effects and it makes the whole region more expensive. But it's government that is doing that more than anything else, more than the free market. It's government. So we've asked her to come on the show. I would love to have Rebecca Parsons come on and talk about all of her strategies for me. We will continue to try to get her on. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you, and then right after the news, I'm going to visit with Jamie Jo Hiles, the foster mom who had her precious Oakley Carlson taken away. And now Jay Inslee just sounds cold as ice when he talks about what his state child welfare agency did to this little girl. I'll talk to the foster mom about it next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we have talked about Jay Inslee's Wednesday press conference where he said that everybody who is not vaccinated is going to die. But he also said something about a case that has been in the news for a long, long time that was, frankly, rather unimaginable to me. He was talking about Oakley Carlson, the little girl who's been missing for a long time, and the state's role in this is profound. One of the foster parents who had Oakley Carlson is Jamie Jo Hiles. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Jamie Jo, it's really good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dory. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Did you hear what Jay Inslee had to say on Wednesday about Oakley?
Yeah, you know, it sounded like the same kind of rhetoric I've heard all along, which is, well, we can't say anything because of privacy laws and which, I mean, I understand that some things are protected, but you can still say her name. It's okay to say the word Oakley, like have some compassion, say her name. And secondly, if it is a heartache to you, then write me back. I've written him for months. I've tweeted at him. I've written him letters. And I haven't heard anything back, unfortunately. So it must not be that big of a heartache.
Yeah. In case my listeners do not know the story, you got Oakley at what age?
So she was 7 months old when my husband Eric and I received her.
And why was she in the system?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. As a foster parent, we're not necessarily informed of like every reason a parent goes into the system. A child goes into the system because of the parent's actions. We just knew that she needed a home and that we were told in the beginning that it was kind of on a month-to-month basis, and then about a year in, everything kind of changed to look like it was going to be the first choice would be adoption.
I have some really good friends who have been foster parents, and if we are going to identify angels on earth, it's foster parents, because you're often taking on kids who have some profound issues. In the case of Oakley, you got her at such a young age, and you mm-hmm. were raising her. And then at what age did it become apparent that the state of Washington was going to rip her away?
So we, like I said, we got her at 7 months, and just days before her third birthday, she went back to her biological parents. And, you know, I wouldn't have been so upset if I had been given more than a month's notice.
Well, but even with, you know, as much notice as you would need, it still is hard, because you were really, you and your husband were the only parents that she ever knew. And I can only begin to imagine how heartbreaking that must have been for you and your husband, and also just how confusing it must have been for Oakley.
Right. And that was, you know, I want to say probably in the summer of 2019, we kind of got the feeling that Oakley might be returning home. And so we tried to really prep her so that she understood, as heartbreaking as that is, to kind of like have a child that is so bonded with you. And then also the trauma for her that it's so fast, right? Like, it was so fast for her to go from us all the time, and then she was just home. And that was really, really heartbreaking for everybody involved. My family, Oakley, you know, it was really a sad time.
And everything that I know of and have heard about you, Jamie Jo, is that you and your husband, as heartbroken as you were, you still wanted to make this as easy as possible for Oakley. So then she goes back to her biological parents and she disappears. So what's going through you and your husband's minds then?
There's lots of things. You know, I did reach out to DCYS, and I also called CPS twice in the 2 years that Oakley was not with me. So I didn't see her, but I was always thinking about her. And I was always wanting to be on the lookout for her, and to hear that she was, it just makes you ill. I mean, it's sick that I would have given anything to have raised this little girl, and her biological parents don't even want to acknowledge that something has happened to her. Like, that makes me feel sick.
I know that one of her siblings told people at school that she had been taken by wolves, which certainly suggests that they had been told that by her parents. And this has been one of the great mysteries in our state the last couple of years. What happened to Oakley? Do you have your thoughts? Do you have your philosophy on what may have happened?
You know, I'm conflicted. I'm ambivalent on what I think has happened. You know, there's that part of me that thinks that, unfortunately, she could have overdosed on drugs and her parents had to do something with her. And then there's that part of me that is maybe optimistic that she is alive somewhere out there, and that maybe she was sold for drugs. But I don't know if that's even a good thing to hope for, right? I mean, I don't want to think about anything that she's suffered or experiencing or any more trauma. Either situation just really sucks, because I'm actually standing in her bedroom right now, but if she was with us, she'd probably just be playing with toys or reading books right now, and I wouldn't have to be thinking about these types of things.
It was clear when the state of Washington took her away from you and your husband, a wonderful, loving family, and returned her to her parents, who had had all kinds of problems. I mean, it was clear that they were putting her in a precarious situation, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. We just were looking back over our timeline of everything, and there were domestic violence orders. There are classes that were supposed to be completed that were never completed. And this is known, right? This is known by, this is all public information. And here I am calling my social worker saying, hey, I'm concerned because Oakley's saying that there's violence, that she witnessed violence at a visit. And I'm being told that it's not a concern. And yet there is concerns like this. Like, how could anybody in their right mind, a judge or a social worker or anybody, think that this is a good idea to put not only Oakley, but her siblings back in the situation?
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is as heartbreaking as it gets. And so when you heard Jay Inslee on Wednesday say that he couldn't comment on it, that there are legal obligations. And I don't believe any of that. I think as governor of the state, he certainly could have formed an opinion and shared that opinion with all of us. I just do not believe what he said. But I also believe that it's up to us, watchdogs of government, to hold government accountable if they put kids in such a horrible situation. So I can't even begin to imagine what you thought about when you heard what Jay Inslee said.
Well, I'm really grateful to Austin Jenkins, the journalist that asked him about Oakley, because I was literally jumping up and down in my classroom out of excitement, because even though Inslee didn't say her name, he at least was asked about her. And it's just ridiculous that I have to fight this hard for the governor to acknowledge my little girl. And it is so messed up. And even if Inslee were to like meet with me and, you know, talk about like, hey, let's figure out what's going on, or let's figure out like the timeline, let's look at things, like, I'm the one that requested the investigation by the ombuds back in February. But an outside source should be investigating the whole rundown of DCYF. If you look at Harmony Montgomery's case on the East Coast, They have already done an investigation into her case, and she was recognized to be missing 3 weeks after Oakley, and they've already done a review of the department. It's a state agency. Why isn't our state governor looking into this?
I cannot imagine a higher priority for our government, for us as citizens, than to protect the well-being of children. And that's where, you know, this story has just been not just frustrating for those of us on the outside. Like I said, I can't even imagine what it's been like for you as her real parent. But there's no higher priority than keeping our kids safe. And when our government fails to do that, then our government has failed at the ultimate level. And that's why this story is just heartbreaking for all of us.
Right. And I think that sometimes maybe the government needs a reminding of, who do they work for? Who do you work for? And secondly, like, an agency that is primarily founded to protect children is failing at their job. A child is missing. Where did she go? Why did this happen? And we need answers as to why that happened.
Her parents have both been jailed, but not for the ultimate crime. You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that maybe, as horrible as this could be, that the best case scenario would be that she's still alive, that she was sold into some sort of drug trafficking. Is that what you're clinging to?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to think about that, but like, there's still just this little part of me that hopes that someday I can explain to Oakley that, like, I didn't want to leave you. I didn't have a choice. And that, like, I want to read her more bedtime book. I still have a college fund that I pay into every single month for her. I will not stop thinking or fighting for her. I can't just stop and give up on her like so many others did.
Jeez, you are bringing tears to my eyes here. So Jamie Joe, if, and I'm assuming he will, if Governor Inslee hears our conversation right now, what do you want to say to him?
I think I'd like to just say that I'd really appreciate talking to you and just kind of explaining that there has to be an investigation done, and we can't fix things until we know where they're broken. And I'm a really diplomatic person. I'm kind, and I'm not trying to, I don't like confrontation, but you can't hide from things. It doesn't bode well for anybody to pretend that things are not as bad as they seem. And we need to do that for the children, not just for Oakley, but for all children that are the most vulnerable children in this state.
Yeah, we have a mania to, for reasons I'll never understand. I've been talking about this for 25 years. We have a mania to return kids to their biological parents, no matter how horrible a situation that might be. And honestly, Jamie Joe, I will never understand that, because every metric, every decision that is made should be what is best for the child, not what is best 100%. For. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have, you know, I know that foster care and reunification can be a beautiful thing, and I would never doubt that it can be absolutely wonderful. But in our situation, Oakley was the only foster child I've ever had. She's the only child I've ever wanted in my life. And it wasn't a thing where I didn't want her to go back to her parents because I was selfish and I wanted to keep her for me. It was because I knew that they were not meant or fit to be parents. And I think that this just proves it even more. And it not only was it that, but it was so rushed. And it was just something where it didn't matter that Oakley was excelling with us in dance class, swim class, being jumped ahead in her daycare classes because she was so intelligent. It was just a data number for DCYF, unfortunately, for her to go back and reunify with her biological parent.
All right. We're going to do everything we can to keep advocating for the truth to come out here. And as I said earlier, I think foster parents are angels on earth, and God bless you and your family, and we'll keep up the fight.
All right. Thank you so much, Dory. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Okay. Jamie Jo Hiles, foster mom, she and her husband to Oakley Carlson, who's been missing for far too long now, and it just cannot continue to be dismissed by our governor and by our state agencies that made the situation happen. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. And I tell you, one reason it's tough for me to be optimistic is because I have a lot of really, really smart friends. One of my very smart friends, this is somebody who precisely called what was going to happen after Joe Biden was elected. And he said, look, by 22, the Democrats are going to mess everything up in the country so horribly, they're going to lose the House and the Senate, and then there'll be some balance for the incompetency of Joe Biden. He called that 100% correct. Well, the same smart friend texted me yesterday, said, something's going on in this world. We haven't heard from the president of the United States fielding questions for almost 100 days. I just went by my local gas station. Gas has gone up almost a dollar in 1 week. It was $5.85 today. Inflation over 8%, interest rates going through the roof, food shortage, baby food shortage, monkeypox. Anything else? Oh, went to my hole-in-the-wall breakfast place, $16 for an egg bowl. Booked a flight to Dallas in June, over $1,000. By the way, there's a chart I will send you, consumer confidence, lowest since 2011 and dropping fast, and that's before the housing market collapse coming. But Biden received more votes than any president in history? Oh, yeah, and he's doing a bang-up job with it. Yeah, the gas prices, gas and food, that's what's crippling people, because they can't afford to get an electric vehicle. Here's Joe Biden. Wait, Joe Biden, in one of his moments where he actually spoke off the cuff, this is what you should do about higher gas prices, he says.
The batteries that we made at this new facility in Georgia are going to power cars without one drop of gasoline and increase security of our battery supply chain as well. That's going to save families money at the pump, because they can skip the pump altogether.
Yes, the average electric vehicle is about $50,000. So just go spend $50,000 and you won't have to worry about a tank of gas costing you $200. And then you'll make back the cost of your electric vehicle in, I don't know, 12 years? Something like that. But that's Joe Biden's solution. And then the inflation's going to keep getting much worse, especially for food. John Boyd Jr., he is the president of the National Black Farmers Association.
We're in a crisis right now in America as far as the food chain goes and what's going on with the American farmer in this country. As you just spoke about the wetlands up in Illinois and the surrounding states that haven't been able to get a plow and a planter in the field, we're going to lose a lot of production there. The war in Ukraine and what's going on with Russia, you're taking out pretty much a whole region of the world that's not going to be able to produce corn, wheat, and soybeans.
That's the president of the National Black Farmers Association saying things are going to get much, much worse than they are right now. Pretty frightening, because they're pretty darn bad right now. That's what happens when you put Democrats in charge of our city, county, state, Congress, and White House. Disaster ensues. We'll check the news for you, and then in our fastest 15. Oh, man. All the police haters out there, you better listen with an open ear and open heart to what I'm going to play for you next here on the Dory Monson Show.